This is episode 88 of UFO Encounters. This episode I'm reading from Joshua Cutchin's book, Fourth Wall Phantoms, Reflections on the Paranormal, Narrative, and Fictions Becoming Fact. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 4, which is titled Lying Sources, Ufological Fictional Incursions. And this is what Joshua has written. One evening in August 2005, a witness in his Clinton, Connecticut backyard spotted lights in the distance over Long Island Sound. It was a UFO, but it defied his expectations. The craft closely resembled the ship from the 1982 blockbuster film E.T., The Extraterrestrial, a design he specifically remembered finding absurd at the time. Within moments, the science fiction ship was humming no more than 100 feet overhead. According to the witness, its size was comparable to Star Trek's USS Enterprise. When it started beaming searchlights onto the marsh underneath, the witness, thinking he'd been spotted, crouched in the reeds. His fear abated upon realizing that the ship wasn't looking for him, but rather other beings awaiting pickup. Over the course of a few minutes, he spotted these shadowy figures, many of whom pointed to the craft proudly before ascending into it via an invisible staircase. Eventually, all stragglers recovered, the craft took away at a sluggish pace, taking a full hour to disappear. Should it prove authentic, this case not only presented a fictional incursion in the form of E.T.'s spaceship, it also vaguely reenacted the opening scene of the film, with the witness taking the place of the stranded alien. From the sound of it, although no glowing was reported, the beings also adapted E.T.'s signature gesture, a single finger pointed skyward. Over the past decade, I've grown weary of repeating myself, yet I must. We don't know what UFOs represent. They may well be extraterrestrial craft, but nothing is verified. Instead, a constellation of fallacies knits together this hasty consensus. Credulity. The beings told me they were aliens. Bias. I want them to be aliens. Limited thinking. Materialism explains reality. And that greatest sin, lack of imagination. These crash materials cannot be produced on Earth, yet must have been produced in this reality. Everyone's inner child, my own included, wants UFOs to be extraterrestrial. No one denies the stellar shape of the UFO phenomenon. Yet this may be as much of a product of expectation as objectivity. When you realize that the stars are simply an anthropological stand-in for older, broader concepts of the beyond, the afterlife, other world, realm of imagination, or archetype of the frontier, anything is possible. All of these hypotheses are open, Dr. Jacques Vallée mused in 2024, 6 decades after pioneering UFO studies. The phenomenon presents itself as a contact with space in a large sense, with something outside of the Earth. That may be because everybody's expecting something in space. Even should we discover extraterrestrial life somewhere out there, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the strange things seen in our skies. Granted, it might, but the flying saucers could well represent a homegrown phenomenon. For all we know, multiple answers await us. In short, the UFO was, is, and remains weird. In the words of Bertrand Mayhurst, the most singular characteristic of the UFO phenomenon is its elusiveness, i.e., a seamless combination of ostentation and evasion. To that we might add mercurial and adaptive, with the shapes of craft reflecting the eras in which they appear. Steampunk airships in the 1900s, Art Deco flying saucers in the mid-20th century, black triangles in the Reagan era, and in today's drone-filled skies, small, manoeuvrable tic-tacs. This might indicate co-creation, or it might simply be a mirror for culture, echoing the ebb and flow of our design aesthetics and artistic choices. Perhaps the flying saucers come from other dimensions, or they originate in our stories and imaginations before somehow making the leap into our reality. In the words of Charles Fort, "Oh yes, I have heard of the fourth dimension, but I'm going to do myself some credit by not lugging in that particular way of showing that I don't know what I'm writing about." For all we know, that is their secret. UFOs are nothing more than plot devices meant to push us forward through our stories, our lives. The UFO confronts our beliefs, no matter what we think it might represent. Science, spirituality, philosophy, loneliness, fear, hope. It challenges all these things. It challenges us to re-evaluate ourselves. To such challenges, ufologists championing the extraterrestrial hypothesis, ETH, fire back with the observation that, given copious physical evidence, the phenomenon must be predominantly physical. Logical, and at first glance true, given crash debris, burn marks at landing sites, and physical wounds on alien abductees. At the same time, consider the witch, an imaginary friend that Diana Jarvis knew until age 5. Although benevolent, the witch sometimes acted out. On one occasion, Diana said, "A ball bearing inexplicably found its way into my nose." Diana blamed her imaginary friend. The object, superficially resembling alien implants, reported by abductees, had to be surgically removed. Diana insisted she hadn't put it there herself. Faced with such tales, most ufologists insist this phenomenon be viewed through the ETH. It wasn't an imaginary friend. The aliens employed a screen memory. While the suggestion is acceptable, I find this insistence uncomfortable. Yet that is the confidence with which so many approach the sources. All this isn't to say that UFOs cannot function with materialism. They clearly possess a degree of physicality. But UFOs are, to materialism, what a few leftover nuts and bolts are to a finished IKEA project. It may function, but these spare components leave you feeling like they are somehow important, that the whole thing might collapse if they aren't properly integrated. Can we integrate them? In the 2024 interview, Vallée said we have to do the homework first, and the homework is within science. I hope so, but fear otherwise. In the post-truth midst of the replication crisis, rising belief in astrology, occultism and paganism, and I'm not denigrating those perspectives by any means, I obviously sympathise with them, but I simply feel that the window for science to speak authoritatively on flying saucers is closing. In the words of scholar of religion Karl Rask, the UFO may operate outside the very matrix of space, time and matter, not provide our civilization with a jeweled capstone to the grand edifice of secular science, but to undo the very architecture itself. There is good news. The homework lies within places besides science. The next section is titled, "To Boldly Go Far, Far Away." How many alien species visit Earth? Depends on who you ask. Conservatively, less than a dozen. Some say hundreds of species in an even more diverse array of spacecraft. The true multitude is as endless as the number of eyewitness perspectives, which probably holds a clue. With the possible exception of anomalous lights in the sky, I'd wager there is no pure UFO devoid of cultural influence. Ufological history swings like a pendulum from fiction to reality and back again. As seen later, the same can be said of fairy folklore. Unsurprisingly, given the extensive similarities between the two, I suspect neither interpretation is accurate, that they are neither fairies nor aliens, but rather some intelligence whose existence we, as a species, lack the linguistic and intellectual tools to interrogate. That is, if they don't come from some unrecognized part of ourselves. In any case, UFOs seem to borrow everywhere from everything and everything from everywhere, in whole or in part. This week I was reading from Joshua Cutchin's book, Fourth Wall Phantoms, Reflections on the Paranormal, Narrative and Fictions Becoming Fact. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFO Podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.